Hey, hope you're ready for more. We are in episode 41 in our Morning Minutes study of 1 Corinthians. The study is called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom for Everyday Life. And my name is Lena Abujamra. Welcome back. I am in the middle of chapter 11. And today, episode 41, I jotted down as a title, Thoughts on Biblical Womanhood. We sort of hit on that a little bit last time, and we're going to pick up that theme because that is where the text takes us. So 1 Corinthians 11, 9 through 16. Let's pray for humility and for wisdom as we read God's word. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. That's verse 8. Now verse 9, neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory. For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Interesting last verse there. I think there's a lot of contentiousness on these topics in 2019. And so I'm picking back up, you know, piggybacking on sort of the discussion. So if you might want to read verses 1 through 8 to get full context about this womanhood idea, because we're going to get into more of that in a couple of chapters. And so let me sort of, again, give some big picture ideas. Number one, one thing we can agree on, because there's a lot of disagreement on the role of men and women, and I think it's worth another Morning Minute episode. And I have dear friends, by the way, who fall in a different place on the issue of headship and the role of men and women in the church. And so there are some things that I think we need to keep in focus. Number one thing we can agree on is that God has given us some thoughts about manhood and womanhood in his word, all right? I think wherever you fall in your interpretation of God and his role in humanity's, you know, division of affairs, I think we can all agree that God has given us some thoughts on this. Starting in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see that God has some words written about what woman's role is and what man's role is. And of course, the curse changed things, and then salvation changes things. And even in the New Testament, when we talk about salvation, one of the characteristics of Christianity is that Jesus settles the different, you know, the salvation is open to both men and women. There is no difference. The women are not a lesser sex. On the contrary, God, Jesus, when he was on earth, treated women with immense love and respect, and that was really outside of what was normal. So we see generally, even before we get into splitting hairs of the role of men and women in the church, we can agree that God has given us some thoughts about manhood and womanhood in his word. A careful study of God's word reveals some ideas about manhood and womanhood, and a thoughtful study of God's word is not always easy, okay? Volumes have been written on this topic, and here we are in 5-minute segments trying to figure out what God thinks about how men and women should behave in the church. So that's point number one. God has given us some thoughts on this. Number two, one thing we can agree on is that God has written some things that will challenge our thinking. Mind you, it doesn't stop on this topic of the role of men and women in the church. God has written on a lot of topics that challenge our thinking. And I'm not even talking about how to come to him for salvation. I mean, not by works, but by faith. That's challenging. I'm not even talking about that. I mean, we've already, in the study of Corinthians, talked about many topics. We talked about sexual sin. We talked about, briefly, we read about homosexuality in our era. These are tough topics to address. The purity culture now. Now we're talking about the role of men and women. And especially in a hyper-independent, hyper-feminist world that we live in, some of these concepts that we're reading will feel very anti-cultural or against the grain of the culture, which, by the way, is so interesting to me because that's the world that they were living in Corinthians, so it's no different. They were wanting to be very worldly and like the culture, and the whole premise of the book of Corinthians is that Paul's writing a hard word to this church that he founded, correcting them and helping them in their conduct in the church. And so here in this chapter, I don't know how you can read it and not come to the conclusion that that woman was created to help man, whatever this word help, I mean, the ezer word in Genesis is not not a demeaning, condescending word. On the contrary, it is a very strong and biblical word. And so that would probably take another study to get into this. But let's agree that God has written some things that will challenge our thinking. And some things will need to be interpreted culturally. Other things need to be received humbly. And some things must be surrendered to regardless of our opinion. All right? And I can't do that work. God has to do that work in each of us. And vice versa. Some people will come to this chapter hyper, you know, strict, and the man talks, the woman doesn't, and you know, that's not God's heart either. So be careful on either extreme. Thirdly, and by the way, a good place to sort of go back to Paul's teachings on how he was made all things to all men, so that by all means he would save some, and how all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, and no. Some conversation is not profitable. So thirdly, one thing we can agree on is that God wants us not to fight. All right. Don't be contentious. The last verse I read is really, that's Paul's sort of summary to this section, is stop being contentious. It's easy to be contentious, but godly to be quiet. You don't have to fight every fight known to mankind. It's self-gratifying to fight when we disagree, but God-honoring to listen and seek to understand. And then it's tempting to abuse what we think God meant in order to defend what we want to practice. All right, these are important principles. Be godly, not contentious. God-honoring, listening, not gratifying the flesh and fighting. And don't abuse what you think God has meant on either side of this to defend what you prefer to practice. This right there is probably the most convicting thing that I've said today to me. I tend to go towards my preferences and ignore what God has said. So let's let God do the teaching. Love you guys. Hey, this is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. We will come back again tomorrow.